with me. Excuse me. We're going to Exodus chapter 2. And in view of the fact we were dedicating the babies tonight to the Lord, if I was going to give this little message a title here, I'd say, When the Baby Cried. They didn't tonight, but sometimes it's right for them to do it. Did you know that? Pick it up with me in chapter 2 of the book of Exodus. You might say it was in God's providence that the baby cried. Watch it here in chapter 2 of Exodus, chapter 2, verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, dubbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And here we are, and behold, the baby wept. He cried out. I think he cried out providentially at this right moment. Think about it. Any teenage girl heart would have melted when that baby looked at her and cried. Don't you think so? So did Pharaoh's daughter. And she had compassion on him and said, This is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh, and I keep watching the providence of God here. Moses' sister's not far off. The timing is just right. Everything is falling into place. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Go. And the maid went and called, just by accident, the child's mother, right? Amen. Nope. Call Jochebed. You do know the name of Moses' mother, don't you? How many of you know the name of the dad? All right, I'm just not going to make you look it up now. But think about it a little bit. All of this was no accident. God was putting this whole package together. The baby cries at the right time. Moses' sister is right there and calls the mother to be the nurse. Don't you see God in this? But you got to understand something. The order had gone out from Pharaoh, and a lot of babies had been drowned in the river. That was the command. It was to kill all the boy babies, and this was going on. And by the way, the Nile River's full of crocodiles. It was not an easy place to survive in. And so a lot of the babies were eaten by crocodiles in the Nile River when this thing was taking place. And it was an awful thing, but the only difference of that in today is today they wear white coats and they go in air-conditioned rooms and kill them anyway. It's an awful thing in the eyes of God, I'll tell you that. And so it all falls together. She calls the child's mother, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Take this child away and nurse it for me. And I will give thee thy wages. Oh boy, God is good. He even pays them to do this. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. Most of you know that means drawn out. And by the way, that was kind of the name of what Pharaoh's daughter was. Jochebed kind of carried the same meaning there. But, and so she describes the meaning of it here in the next few words, because I drew him out of the water.
And as I look at this, I think I see the hand of God, of course, in it all the way through here. God used, it's Mother's Day today, and I want to say God used motherhood here. And he used a baby. And it's a lot bigger than the world would ever think. God was turning a lot on this one little event, on this one baby in a little homemade ark of bulrushes, surviving the crocodiles, being in the right place, having the right teenage girl to come out and have compassion and bring him out. Listen, the other Egyptian girls could have tried that, but they didn't have the authority Pharaoh's daughter had. She could pull this off, and she did. And so God here was using everything, putting everything together here just right. And I think about all that came about because of this. If you look in a concordance and find out how many times Moses' name is mentioned in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Go all the way through, and you find testimonies given to him, even by the Lord Jesus Christ, about what a great man he was and how that God used him. But think about it, it all turned on crying at the right time, being in the right place. Just a little thing. No, it was a big thing. A big thing with God, amen? I want to say to you that motherhood is natural. I don't care what the world says about it today, it's natural. To provide for and to protect a baby is a natural thing with a mother. You shouldn't even have to say that. That's witnessed even in the animal kingdom. You hear it all the time. You don't want to mess with a mother bear, do you? If she's got some cubs around, you better get out of there. Amen. Do you know even birds will protect the young? I was preaching up in Ohio in a church building, this big or bigger, and I was parking the car, and as I was walking in, I saw other folks walking in the door. It was just about this time of day, a little daylight left, and I realized a mother bird was flying down and striking people in the head. You know why? Because she'd built a nest up there, and she had some eggs or baby birds in it. Boy, she was swatting people coming in. She was protecting her young. That's a natural thing. I found that out as a kid. Anybody know what a setting hen is? I have to teach you science. A setting hen. There's a difference in a hen and a setting hen. Do you know that? A setting hen will flog you, will chase you, will peck you. And as a little boy, I found out when the old hen is setting, she's not your friend anymore. She'll protect those little ones, and she'll get all over you. I remember that when I was young, having that experience. And a woman's natural desire for a baby and to protect their babies is a natural thing. What we're seeing today in the world is deranged. It's satanic. It's wrong. It is a awful thing today, this thing we call abortion on demand and genocide and all of this business that's going on. I tell you, it's a natural thing for a young woman to want to be a mother. It's placed in there. And you know what? We have to educate it out of them. We have to brainwash them that, no, you don't need to be a mother. You need to have a career. You need to climb the social ladder and all that kind of business. That's not natural. That's going against what God instilled in them to begin with. And I'll tell you something, in the long run, as I was preaching this morning, they'll regret that choice. I guarantee you, when the days of becoming a grandma, and they're not a grandma, they'll have regrets then, for sure. But it's a deranged thing going on today. It's awful that motherhood is being destroyed. I go back to the animal thing. I was just thinking about this a little while before the survey. I don't know why. Talking about an animal getting you to protect their young. One of the first times I went up where Stephen is pastoring up in West Virginia, I preached up in another part of the state, about 100 miles away. And it was Sunday night. Now, I was trying to find my way back to his place through the hills, and deer running up there everywhere. And it was dark, and the roads are so crooked, you meet yourself, as they say, coming and going around those curves. And he'd warned me, you'll hit a deer if you're not real careful. So I was being real careful, and some of you might not believe it, I was driving slow. Slow.
And I remember going around a turn, almost stopping going around that turn. It was so sharp. And sure enough, there stood a mother deer, a doe, and a little fawn. And they were in the road, and I guess my lights blinded them a little bit, but I was going so slow, and I actually went between them. Now, my left fender might have just barely brushed him, didn't hurt him at all, and didn't touch her. She was on this side, but I was between them. And I come to a dead stop, and I thought, well, good. And about that time, that mother deer lowered her head and charged my fender. So help me, a hand on the Bible is what she did. Why? She thought I was separating her from that baby. I still got the scar on the car. I'll show it to you for $5 after the service tonight. But the truth is, that's a natural thing. It ought to be a natural thing across this land and across this world today for mothers to want to protect their babies, not see them as a hindrance, not see them as something that's going to stop them from partying and having a good time and want to get rid of them even to the place of killing them. But that's going on, folks. That's going on. It's a terrible, terrible thing, but it's going on. But you know, the attack is coming from the high places, from the United Nations down through the worldly colleges that young girls go to and get brainwashed, and all of that's coming down from the top, and it's defying what is natural. The world has recognized a mother's love as being a natural thing all these years. Anybody know what a Volkswagen van used to look like? I don't think they make them anymore, do they? I don't know. A Volkswagen van. Anybody ever remember seeing the advertisement on the signboard trying to sell you a Volkswagen van? And by the way, you didn't really want one, but most of the hippie flower children had them. Remember that? But used to have a sign right here, Lakeland, Winter Haven, around here, and it had a picture of that Volkswagen van, and then it had a very true statement on the bottom of it. It said, "Only a mother could love it." They were telling the truth. Ugly thing. But you know what? They were hitting on something that's born in the soul and heart of womankind. Yes, a mother can love when nobody else can. And that's a gift from God. That's something from God. There's no doubt about it. And today it's under attack everywhere. Today abortion is being used as birth control, is about what it amounts to. And it's a ridiculous thing, but it's happening everywhere, and it's Satan's plan. Satan's behind the homosexual agenda today. He is behind it big time. I got a note here I'm going to read to you. Some of you remember this name. You probably remember this name from our radio station, Kirby Anderson. He was host on Point of View Radio Show, he and Marlon Maddox, for years, and Kirby's still on there from time to time. And he's warning us. He's putting this out. And he says the Equality Act they're trying to pass, getting it passed, specifically overrides the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, removing legal protection for Christians who want to exercise their right of conscience. Christian schools, Christian colleges would have to treat biological men as women if they claim to be a woman. Now, you can't get any more stupid than that. Don't believe your eyes. Don't believe what you know to be true. Just believe what we tell you. And some of these perverts, just go ahead and call them what they are, some of these perverts today want to claim they're a woman, tomorrow they want to claim they're a man, and whichever one that is, you got to honor them on that day, and that's the junk. You say, well, what does it matter? Because they're coming to places like churches and Christian schools and forcing us to try to go along and recognize and give them their rights. We've actually had them right here in our county here this last week. Talking about this stuff. And here it goes on. Businesses can no longer protect the privacy of female customers in restrooms and fitting rooms. They get this bill passed, and it looks like it's going to pass. These politicians will do anything to stay in office.
We got very few statesmen left. We got politicians that'll sell their soul to stay in the office, and the bad crowd that can get them an extra vote, that's all they want. That's what's going on. This bill forces schools to teach gender equality to children and removes parents' rights to exempt their child from this type of teaching. This will also apply to Christian schools. I had a man right here, in fact, I think he was one of our college students at the time, in our church, say that his daughter came home from whatever public school system it was. She come home and said, "Daddy, how come I can't have two daddies and two mamas like some of the little girls in school?" Now that's sick. That is just sick. But that's the time that we've moved to. Now I thank God he's still in charge. Pharaoh had a plan, didn't he? His plan was to kill the babies. His plan was to kill them because he saw them as a threat. He saw the fact that they were multiplying and all that. And so he gave an order, and even though his own midwives disobeyed him, and Jochebed had the character, her and her husband, to save Moses, yet I see God overriding that. And the Pharaohs of this world still are defying God, and God is still going to override them. I will guarantee you. He is going to override them. Satan is not the winner. It looks like it today, but he's not. We've got all the transgender news and all that business going on today, but that's not God's plan. And God defeated Pharaoh's plan with a baby's cry. Just happened to be in the right place and opened his mouth at the right time, and the heart melted of that teenage Egyptian girl, and next thing you know, he's not only got his needs, he's living in the luxury of the palace. He's getting the education, he's getting all that he needs. God is able. Let's not sell the Lord short, amen? Now, motherhood, though, is elevated in the Bible. If you want to see what God says about it, you may not like it, but you ought to like it. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. Somebody says, "What's my career going to be? What am I going to do?" Well, try this one if you're a girl. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 14, what's God's will for my life? Well, let me read it to you here. "I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." So, well, what's God's will for my life, Pastor? Well, try this. He makes it pretty plain. Oh, you say, "I want to do this, that, or the other." Well, God's got a will for you, and I'll tell you something. You're safer in his will than anywhere else. You'll have more joy in his will than anywhere else. You'll have more victory. You'll have more peace. And that's God's will for young women. Maybe not for everyone, but mighty close. That's pretty well the blanket issue. That's pretty well what God says right here about it. See, Jesus loves children. That's his plan. As we see all these babies across the platform here tonight in front of the auditorium, if somebody would have come in and tried to kill one of those babies, we wouldn't have allowed that, would we? Well, then why in the world would it be right for it to happen before they came in here tonight? It is ridiculous what's going on, but the governor of New York and others, they've passed the laws, it's been in the news. They say now the baby can actually be born. The governor, and I heard him say it, and you did too on TV, "We'll take the baby out, we'll wrap it up, we'll make it comfortable, we'll lay it over there, and then the mother and the doctor will decide whether it lives or not." How come that wouldn't be murder? It is murder. Of course it is. And how has our nation ever slipped to that level? It's hard to believe, but it has. And that's where it's at. With all the criticism of the president, he has slowed up the abortion business. And if you've noticed the news here recently, more and more states are banning abortion once the heartbeat is felt. And these liberal judges are trying to overturn it. But there's a half a dozen states that are right now passed a ban that if the heart, and by the way, the heartbeat is heard very quickly.
with just a few weeks it is heard. And I hope you're praying about that, because look how many lives are at stake. You've heard the testimonies of babies that were supposed to be aborted, they lived anyhow. I heard the testimony, I think it was this last week or week before, heard the testimony of a woman that worked in an abortion clinic. She worked there for a number of years. And then she kind of by accident began to see what was happening. They were having babies that survived the abortion attempt. And she said there was one room that she went in, and it was full of aborted babies that had still lived and was laying in there dying with no care, nobody, and she could take it no longer. And she got out of it, and she turned evidence on the crowd. And she said, you know, they use that salt solution that they use to kill the babies. She said she saw the babies in that room not only surviving, but that the people had turned them over off their back onto their face, where their face was down in that saline solution, and let them drown on it. Now, you know what the animal rights people would get you if you done a rat that way. That's right. And yet doing human beings that way, that's hard to imagine, isn't it? That mankind can be so inhumane to mankind to do that sort of stuff. I've read about the Holocaust. I've seen films and pictures on it. And one of the things I can't get over, how in the world those German officers could go in there and burn those Jews and others and kill them like they did, and shoot them and bury them in mass graves, and go home at noon to take their lunch at home with their own family, where they had kids the same age and wives the same age as the people that just got through destroying. Now that has to be of the devil, folks. That's not normal. That's not natural. That's just no way. And I can hardly imagine. I had showed one night there on one of the films. It showed the man even being interviewed later on how he could do it. And he talked about it like it was, is it going to rain? There's nothing in particular. He was just that hardened. I want to tell you something. You sin enough and you'll get to where you don't feel it. The scripture says over there that he that is often reproved, and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You know what that means? That means if you do wrong enough, your conscience gets to the place that don't feel it anymore. It don't hurt like it did to start with. And that's a sad place to get in, because God is still keeping score. And there's going to be a day of reckoning coming. You know, I think about this, just a baby's cry, just a mother's heart that kept him alive, put him in the bull rushes. But think about it. If there was no Moses, do you realize that there'd be not only the no Ten Commandments, but the jurisprudence of this world? Do you know that our laws are basically based on the fact that God gave Moses the law? And you go to our courthouse, our Supreme Court in Washington, D.C., and you got the Ten Commandments carved in the wall and carved above the doors. That's our foundation. Right. And if the baby hadn't cried and Moses hadn't survived, what a difference this world would be, humanly speaking. I know God could have done it some other way. He chose to do it that way, and to do it with just a little thing like a baby's cry at the right time. And we have the law, and we have all that came because of Moses. You know, Moses wrote much of the Bible. He wrote the Pentateuch. He wrote the first five books. It is strongly believed, and there's evidence, that while Job is the oldest book in the Bible, there's events in Genesis that transpired before they did in Job. But it's very likely Moses wrote the prelude, as it were, the introduction to Job, and also some of the conclusion. Moses was a great man, as the Bible says, and God used him. But there was a time he was surviving by a faint cry in the Nile River, and God had him fished out, drawn out, that's what his name means, drawn out before the crocodiles got him. Listen, sometimes it may look like as God's people we're losing. Are we hanging on by a thread? But don't ever rule God out. He's going to have his way. He's going to have his way. He did. He did here with Moses. And had there been no Moses, humanly speaking, we'd sure be in a mess. And God fished him out in God's time. I want to say to you that Pharaoh was defying God and wanted to drown the babies, including Moses. But what happened to Pharaoh? Didn't he drown? See, there's still a God in heaven that brings everything around. Oh, yeah. Some of you have seen some of the documentary that they believe they've actually found the chariot wheels in the Red Sea from Pharaoh's armies and his chariots, right where God said. And the wonderful truth is, as we think about that, God defeating Pharaoh, there's a fellow coming we call the Antichrist, and God's going to defeat him. And all this evil that we're talking about right now, that's his plan. That's his one world globalization plan. But God's still going to defeat him. I don't know whether he'll use a baby's cry to do it, but he'll use something. And he'll defeat him in the end. Here, we owe a lot to motherhood, to the love of motherhood. We owe a lot to the providence of God. And he's still in charge. We tell on a lot of times for Mother's Day, we tell, and there's stories galore. There's an abundance of stories speaking of a mother's love. It's an unusual thing. It's a supernatural thing. It's a godly thing. And all kind of stuff is recorded about it. I remember when I was a kid on work on the farm. We'd go back to Georgia. I was born up there, but we moved here to Haines City, and I remember going back up there in the summer and working in the harvesting the crops. It was hot in Georgia as it was in Florida, and it was not a pleasant job. And I remember staying with my uncle, and we right across the road was where the field come up and cornered to the road, and he'd tell ghost stories so we couldn't sleep at night, stuff like that. We had you didn't have any TV, kids. You did other things. And I think it was the summer that I turned 13 before I got back home. But there was a true story that he told us. He said, right in the corner of that field, said, you notice we never plant there. We never plow there. When we come around to that corner, we just kind of catacorner it off and we leave a vacant space. And we said, yes, why do you do that? He said, because there's a grave there. He said, there's never been a marker on it, I don't think, but down through the history of this countryside out here, everybody knows there's a grave there. And the grave was of a mother riding a stagecoach back in the old days where the road cornered there. And in the wintertime, hard winter, and Georgia could have some of those, she had gotten off. Somebody had told her that was the stop, and it wasn't. It was a wilderness pretty well out here. And she'd gotten off with her baby, young baby. And when they found her, she had basically frozen to death, but she'd taken her clothes that could have kept her warm and wrapped up the baby, and the baby was still alive. Now, that story still hangs on up there in the countryside about that, and it makes a great truth. A mother's love transcending her own needs. Most of us had mothers that you and I know, they'd sacrifice what they needed for us. Mine would. And many of you have had that kind of mother. I want to say to you, God uses motherhood. He uses a mother's love. And he's still going to win out over the crowd today. I think it shedding of innocent blood in this abortion industry today, I believe it's drawn the wrath of God and the judgment of God, even on our nation. And I'm praying we can turn it around, but if we don't, God's not going to put up with what's going on like this stuff right here forever. He's going to act. I want to say to you and I, let's be thankful today on Mother's Day and dedicating the babies, and let's recognize that that is of God in all this so-called other education against
marriage and against motherhood and against raising the kids and the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that's of the devil. It's not of the Lord. Let's speak up for it every way and every way we can. Let's raise our kids to know what is right and what is real. And you young folks, as you put your home together and get married, you understand what God's plan is and stick with it. Father, we thank you for folks coming tonight on Mother's Day and a lot of folks gone. We thank you for that. Father, I've talked to them tonight on that subject, but Father, there might be one here unsaved that's never received Christ as Savior. I pray that even tonight, as we give just a short invitation, that if they're here, that they'd come forward and let us take a Bible and show them how to be saved. I pray that you'd bless in our hearts to stay on the right side in a world that's gone wrong. Help us, Father, to recognize what is right and how you can still have the victory, even with something as simple as a baby's cry. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a song and ask Hector to lead us. And whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.